Today, I'll explain step by step the wild, insane, and extremely sad death of actor Gene Hackman and his wife Betsy. Then I'll tell you about the first U.S. execution conducted by firing squad in the last 15 years. A 14-year-old boy shoots and kills a Newark police detective last Friday night. And diving behind the scenes of the Ukraine war, along with the moves Zelensky is making and the reasons why, all here on The Bullock today. So let's do it.
If you are just joining us,
the mainstream news is so corrupt.
This is unbelievable.
This is wild.
No one is talking about this.
The shootings are just out of control right now.
If you don't read the newspaper, you're uninformed. If you do read it, you're misinformed.
How does a husband, his wife, and the couple's dog all die in the same house in separate rooms and there be no foul play? So I'm going to break it down for you. The mysterious death of actor Gene Hackman, 95 years old, and his wife, Betsy Hackman, 65 years old, starts back on February 26 when the couple were found dead by a maintenance worker. The most obvious speculation was carbon monoxide poisoning, but that was ruled out early on. Investigators reveal that Betsy died from what's called hantavirus pulmonary syndrome, which is a virus carried by rodents that, although rare, can cause severe respiratory diseases in humans. Although the virus cannot spread from human to human, it can be passed on from rodent to human and also carries a 40% fatality rate once it's passed on to a human. So a very deadly disease. The victim will begin to have a fever and muscle aches up to 8 weeks after contracting the virus, which will then progress into coughing, shortness of breath, and fluid building up in the lungs. A fatality would occur from too much fluid being built up in the lungs, where respiratory failure would kick in and the flow of oxygen would fail to reach different vital organs. Now, it's deemed that Betsy didn't seek medical treatment and the disease worked quickly throughout her body, as the last known day of her being alive was on February 11th and was eventually found lying face down on the bathroom floor. So she dies on February 11th, that's from the autopsy, and isn't found by the maintenance workers until February 26th. So large gap there. It's believed that when his wife fell, most likely in the late stages of her life on February 11th, Gene Hackman was obviously home at the time. However, the actor being 95 years old and experiencing heart disease, he did greatly suffer from late stage Alzheimer's disease, which is a disease that is a progressive neurodegenerative disorder that gradually destroys memory, thinking skills, and the ability to perform daily activities. The saddest part about this story is that it's generally felt that Gene did not know his wife was lying on the bathroom floor for the next 7 days due to Alzheimer's disease until he himself passed away in the mudroom in their house. The last time his pacemaker recorded any heart activity was on February 18th, meaning Gene was alone in the house for about a week, probably neurologically being unaware that his wife had passed away, as she was lying a mere few feet from him for an entire week. And sadly, most likely unable to take care of himself for that week, which increased his chances of dying by his heart disease each day that passed by. His wife, Betsy, played a vital part in caretaking for Gene during his health battles, including Alzheimer's. So as sad as it is, and this is bad, it's not surprising that during the autopsy, there was absolutely no food found in Gene's stomach, meaning he hadn't eaten any time recently before he had died, a direct result of his wife's passing. Now, gets even worse there, as the couple had three dogs. Two were found alive and one had passed away during this circumstance. The dog that had passed away was found in its crate near Betsy and most likely had died from starvation or dehydration from the week-long phase of being locked in without food or water since Betsy's death. overall, a terribly sad, sad, sad circumstance of events, as Betsy was only 65 years old and Gene's health wouldn't allow him to help her, nor help himself. It's terrible all around. Gene, though, to, you know, on another note, will be remembered, you know, as a successful actor, especially being remembered for his performances in Unforgiven, The French Connection, and Hoosiers. And, you know, a really good actor from that old school Hollywood era. So, rest in peace there. In U.S. news now, and over into South Carolina, as a man who was convicted of bludgeoning his ex-girlfriend's parents to death has become the first U.S. inmate to be executed by firing squad in the last 15 years. Brad Sigmund died on Friday by state corrections officer volunteers, as this method of execution was actually requested, believe it or not, by Brad himself over the other two options, the electric chair or through lethal injection. Not sure which one I would choose between the three, lethal injection, electric chair, or firing squad. I gotta say, firing squad wouldn't be the one, because during the act of firing squad, a red bullseye is placed over the offender's heart as he is strapped down to a chair with an instrument placed below the inmate to catch his blood. So sort of demoralizing. You know, you got other men lining up with guns to shoot at you, and then you have something to catch your blood. Just demoralizing as a man, to be honest, as they put a bullseye over your heart. I mean, I'd probably go with lethal injection, because the electric chair just would make me feel evil, like I'm be freaking brutal. Ironically, though, this is Brad found his faith in Christianity while behind bars, and in his final statement called on his fellow Christians to help end the death penalty. What a coincidence. The timing of that. He just so happens to feel the presence of the Lord when he's facing the end of the same fate that he so excitingly forced his own victims to concede to as he stood over them, bludgeoning down on their bodies with a baseball bat years earlier. What a non-hypocritical, straightforward, honest guy. His last meal was four pieces of fried chicken, green beans, mashed potatoes, biscuits, and sweet tea. Over into Newark now, Newark, New Jersey, as a 14-year-old boy shot and killed a Newark police officer and injured another Friday evening. 26-year-old police detective Joseph Ascona was part of a larger operation also involving federal agents that were pursuing a suspect in an illegal weapons operation. Detective Ascona was actually shot and struck while he was still in his vehicle at around 6:30 p.m. on Friday evening. The 14-year-old was also shot and hospitalized, but is expected to live and face a charge of murder, attempted murder, and possession of illegal firearms. And this is, the mayor of Newark had a really good quote on this, basically saying, 14-year-old shooting at police, this is not a police problem. This is a society problem. That we have 14-year-olds running around with these style of weapons, more than eager to shoot at police officers. I mean, and he's right. This is not a police issue. This is a societal, institution-style, social problem. But now over onto the world stage now, as you'll probably hear more about this story online in the coming days. In Syria, as anyone could have predicted, has continued to fall into a deeper crater of chaos, I'd say, after the Assad regime was toppled back in December. Current security forces of the government clashed with pro-Assad forces as remnants of his old military, of Assad's old military, went on a revenge spree, killing 745 civilians and about 125 members of the current government security forces. 148 pro-Assad fighters were also killed, taking the overall death toll this weekend to over 1,000 people in the war-torn country. Back in December, Assad fled to Russia for safe haven after opposing forces took control of the government, toppling his power. So interesting to see what kind of move this is, that he's trying to work his way back into Syria. Now, after Zelensky's rough and infamous meeting with Trump in the White House last week, he's slowly changing his tune on future steps in working with the U.S. in ending the war with Russia. Ironic, the timing. Zelensky is starting to change demeanor as Russia officially occupies 20% of Ukraine's total territory, which is surprising to hear after seeing the media gloat over Ukraine for the last 2 to 3 years, which they're very lucky that they have a country right now, but the way of this gloating, you wouldn't expect Russia to have any part of Ukraine's territory with the way that Ukraine's been put out there as like this successful defense of their country, which to some point it is. They still have a country, but Russia occupies 20% of the entire country, which is essentially if somebody took over the United States and completely occupied basically from Pennsylvania all the way up to Maine, probably even more, probably like from DC all the way up to Maine, and us calling it a success. You know, very, very low bar there to have as the standard. But this is at the same time that the U.S. has paused all foreign aid to the country and to the very same country that Zelensky's position as president actually ended almost an entire year ago. Zelensky's term as president ended back in May of 2024, but has imposed martial law on the country during Russia's invasion, which has prevented an official election from occurring. So a little bit behind the scenes as to why Zelensky might not be wanting to end the war in Ukraine as quickly as everyone had thought, it might just be that he's realizing his power may be up and is trying to just give himself some more time in galvanizing a way forward for himself, to be honest. He may have also realized just how unpopular it is in his own country to not do virtually anything in his immediate power to end the war by any means necessary, even if that's giving up his own power. Probably quite unpopular over there. I'm sure Ukrainians are a bit fatigued as well of the fighting by now and seeing Zelensky go on these world tours. I'm sure the people over there are kind of fatigued on that.
That is the World Trade Center, and we have unconfirmed reports this morning.
Which specifies the unconditional surrender of Japan.
The president has been shot.
You may hear him. Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Good evening, live from the Berlin Wall on the most historic night in this wall's history. What you see behind me...
Now, on this day in history, 103 years ago, on March 10th, in the year 1922, Mohandas Gandhi, the well-known spiritual leader and activist, is arrested and sentenced to 6 years in prison for protesting the British government as they occupied his country of India since 1858. All for the crime of what was referred to as sedition, aka conduct or speech inciting people to rebel against the authority of a state or monarch. Which, after reading that, is essentially the exact ideology that created the United States of America, baby! The British perceived Gandhi's actions as an obvious ideological threat to their rule. He spent 2 years in prison and was released early due to medical reasons and continued to promote resistance to the country's colonization by Britain, in which he did live to see happen. In 1947, India shook off its British occupiers for good with the 1947 Indian Independence Act. But that blossoming moment would be short-lived, as Gandhi would be assassinated less than a year later by a Hindu extremist, deeming Gandhi's actions would lead to the suffering of Hindus. So good news now, as we head out to Oregon, as a 71-year-old woman had her life saved after she accidentally steered her vehicle into the Mackenzie River. A rescue swimmer from the U.S. Coast Guard was lowered by helicopter into the depths of the night to pull the lady out. I have absolutely no idea how the woman landed herself in this exact location, as the car is literally in the middle of the river that looks to be about 50 meters wide, which is like half a football field. This is not a road or anything. There's nothing except woods in the river, and she's in the middle of the river. I can't see where a road is. It would even be located around this area. Very strange, but happy she was saved, as there is no way she would have been able to swim out of that with the darkness and how high the water is. So kudos to the U.S. Coast Guard here. Now this week, a huge week with a lot of good stuff here. So this Friday at 5 a.m., the No Politics podcast has a brand new episode where I discuss U.S. presidential assassinations, assassination attempts, and assassinations that have taken place in other countries, all with professor and author Dr. Feinman, who wrote the book Assassinations, Threats, and the American Presidency, from Andrew Jackson to Barack Obama. A really interesting episode where we discuss the events of each presidential assassination in our country's history, along with analyzing the polarization of our current social climate that seems to be fueling the latest assassination attempts against high-profile government officials that we also go into detail on. Now, your daily news podcast, The Bullock, is out every weekday, published at 5 a.m., and I will be back here tomorrow morning with another episode of The Bullock for your world news stories, and I will see you then.
News and factual material are deeply researched to confirming the validity of multiple sources by the broader media landscape across the global sector in the digital world. All statements are a combination of primary and secondary research components geared towards providing the only news show and video and podcast form that provides a clear understanding of important world issues that are being left out by the completely biased and politically driven global media machine. Thank you for listening.